You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you're going to have a good day. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But I know if the weather's not accommodating, but you have to do it, you will get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we appreciate you for that. That's for sure. Yep. But if you don't have to do it, considering how bad this virus is ravishing this country, particularly here in the South, where the mayor, who also has coronavirus, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, that's right, Lance, if you remember back in the 60s, Major Lance, you know, that's her father. That's right. That's right. Do the monkey time. The monkey time. And Well, anyway, she said, we're going to go back to how the should be back to square one. We're closing all stuff and, you know, and we're going back to square one. And that's why I don't believe, and that's why I firmly believe they should not open schools. They should not open schools. But, hey, you know, the idiot that's in the office is adamant about doing it. And so, wow. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that, and then the drop down will have African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. The latest programs may not be on there yet. I thank my good friend and brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate him. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming with Brother Wahad from 6 to 8, followed by Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. An excellent program. The host was Sister Benisiwa Ayan. Sister Benisiwa Ayan, and she did an outstanding job. And the host, Dr. Kambon, Sister just a really good program. Appreciate it very much for the information. On Thursdays, Black Reality Think Tank, Millennial Edition. The millennials, the brothers and sisters talking, young brothers and sisters talking about the issues that are affecting us today. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank, Weekend Edition from 4 to 6, followed by the Sankofa Elders Council from 6 to 8 on Saturday. And then if it's, and on Sunday at 7 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank. Excuse me. on Sunday at 7 p.m. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. When you see him looking at it, you know. Every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. is the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for everything for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. You can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Mamani Taimba's website, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. On their website, you will see, and there's everything that you need to make a trip of a lifetime, to go back home, to check out the various countries that the brother goes to each year. Still, he has a trip for South Africa, November 20th through the 30th of this year, November 20th through the 30th, $3,700. And then there's a trip to Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2021. So, but if you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. If you want to see photos of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. Give the brother a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. My good brother and friend, Dr. Renoka Rashidi, he doesn't have a tour this year. His first tour is up January 21st through February 4th, and that is Uganda and Rwanda. Uganda and Rwanda. It's rescheduled. The new date is January 21st. The price, I believe, is still the same, $4,200. Beautiful pictures. Go to the website, drrenoco.com. And then the other trip is later in the year, August 1st through August 14th. 2021, going to Kemet. Habesha, HabeshaIncorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. The brothers and sisters that are doing the work that definitely and deserve to be supported. Yes, that's HabeshaIncorporated.org and the Kashi Project that they're building in Ghana. And I'm going to start talking about the Ledge Group after I talk about them as well, because once again, what I try to do, let me just take a break here. What I try to do, if I feel there's something that needs to be supported that is helping to raise the consciousness of our people, it's not something that trying to make a bunch of money. No, it's something that we need from a health standpoint, from a mental standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint. I try to bring that out. And no, I don't get paid for this. And nor do they pay. I know my brother Quaker would love for us to get some money, something. And I agree, and we will. We will. So, once again, the shrine, it ain't open. And the shrine probably won't be open this year the way things are going. That's a fact. They won't be open this year. Yeah. But, brothers and sisters, go to the Kashi. I'm sorry. Go to Habesha. Incorporated.org and make your cash donations, okay, to support the Kashi Project. Please. Thank you. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia with the Medu Bookstore, and give her a call at 404-342-3263. She has books and postcards, greeting cards, gifts, T-shirts, figurines, all kinds of good stuff at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Okay, that's Monday through Friday, I think from 12 to 7. I believe she is open now. And then on Sundays from 12 to 5 in the Greenbrier Mall. The number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The other bookstore I promote as well, because we need to read. We need to educate ourselves, is Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Gazimde Ajamu, who also now has a coffee bar, in the black dot. And brothers and sisters, there is light in the black dot. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. And Edward Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, right in the West End, right on Abernathy, across the street from Soul Veg, down the street from the West End Mall and the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And the number for Wadadas is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Also, too, at Wadada is We Buy Black. They have We Buy Black products right there in Wadada's. You can pick up the soap, the toothbrushes and razors and all kinds of good stuff right there at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They also have other vendors there. And they have the Afroletics. That's right. Those are the sportswear with African themes, African names, the Olmecs, the Zulus, the Dogon Star Seed, the Rebels, the Herus. So check them out. Check them out. All right. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Oh, let me give Renoko's number out too, but maybe you want to give him a call. Renoko Rashidi, 323-803-8663. That is 323-803-8663. Renoko Rashidi. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. The Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. That is blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m. 9 p.m. on Thursday night, hour-long program. If you don't want to go online, you can use your phone and dial 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. If you just want to listen, you can do that. Or if you want to contribute, you can do that. All right, that's Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Sister Gabrielle Rilly and Sanjay Dash Haiti in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti is doing outstanding work of educating, health care, and agricultural sustainability and job creation. That is Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, Dash Haiti. AYITI.org. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Please help Baba Baruti and Sister Ya Baruti educate our young warriors at Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Mail it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to use Cash App and PayPal, you can do so. The dollar sign Yah, dollar sign then Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, Baruti, B-R-U-T-I, and make your donations. Also, too, the 6th Annual Complementarity Conference coming up this Saturday, the 18th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. From 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., it is an online program. Go to PayPal, put in Yah, M. Baruti at PayPal at Yahoo. Yah M. Baruti at Yahoo. The $10 donation. And this is the fundraiser for Akabin Institute. So brothers and sisters, please help and attend the complementarity conference. I'm gonna speak on that after I deal with the Inye Sesim, okay? All right. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, the Inye Sesim. July 14th. There is a very significant difference between retreat and defeat. George L. Jackson, the Soledad Brothers, George Jackson. For revolutionaries without the option of defeat, retreat is defined as a collective effort to move back from the front lines to a more secure spaces in order to regroup forces, dress wounds, check morale, reassess resources, and return to battle with more effective and efficient victorious strategies.
Defeat is defined as defeat, and is only an option for those truly vanquished, those who have given up on being victorious and are willing to pretend to be pretend men and women of womanhood. We have never been defeated. I repeat, we have never been defeated. We never will be. No matter the conditions or distance of the retreat, warriors with victorious vision return in force to the battlefield because there is no other reasonable option. If we recognize that Africans cannot be who we are, independent, powerful, ancestor-loving, self-respecting, self-determining people in Urugu's presence, then we, as conscious, rational beings, can but reach one logical conclusion. We cannot share the same space and time and truth with our enemies. Brothers and sisters, I will repeat that. We cannot share the same space, time, and truth with our enemies. Europeans are an open and sworn enemy of African people. History bears that out. Malcolm said of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Affirm, I retreat only to better prepare for victory. Affirm, I retreat only to better prepare for victory. July 15th. It is easy to be hopeful in the day when you can see the things you wish on. Zora Neale Hurston. African men and women coming into consciousness full of a dormant righteous rage, brought to life by conditions and contradictions, expect to find an army to work with, not a bunch of personalities debating what we do and don't do, can and can't do, will and won't have. This is confusing and demoralizing. Of course, our enemies know this is what these warriors will find and rely on us, having at most nothing more than a ragtag militia without a concrete mission other than within a vision of a reformed European, a vision of a reformed European, Arab, or Far Eastern reality from which we can better benefit. As revolutionaries, as the idea of others, contradictions coming to a head and imploding may sound to some, such wishful thinking is still other-orientated and centered because the focus is on waiting for the cultural contradictions of others, culture and society eventually and successfully turn against us. We cannot affirm, we cannot find them. I make armies. Affirm, when I can't find them, I make armies. You know, I haven't talked about, but Rudy, I want to get his take. I know he loved them, you know. The NFAC and Grandmaster Jay. I was going to play some of that today, but I'm going to do something else now. But definitely will do that. Would love to try to find a way to get that brother on. He's been on a number of radio shows. I've seen him on, and I'm quite sure if you have, you have too, on Facebook and other other streams or whatever. But yeah. Yeah, I know, like I said, a brother had a concern, and I understand his concern because you're talking about, you know, Grandmaster Jay was upset the fact that when he made the call to come to Atlanta to deal with the Ku Klux Klan, what he said, I mean, I'm not going to argue with these numbers because he just throws them out there, that 4,000 said they would come, but he got about 1,000. He got about 1,000. Look, that looked like to me. I don't know. I can't estimate what a crowd might be, but you know. But they were ready. They were ready. They didn't look ragtag. They looked like they were ready. And that really gave me personally, because I've always said, when we make the move to be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign, we're also going to have to defend that move. And based upon what I've heard from, boy, man, that thing is loud. What I've heard from Grandmaster Jay, others, that, you know, they're willing to be that military arm of our struggle. that we need, because, you know, we're talking about changing the paradigm, a paradigm shift. We're talking about a independent, self-determining, sovereign African continent, not just a nation, the continent. We're talking about, you know, I think in the world, in this world, every human being should have the right to go home. And if there was somebody in your home that came from somewhere else, that entity should return to where they came from. When you have Arabs in the north throughout Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Mauritania, and so forth, when you have these people in the north, when you have Chinese, Europeans, Indians from India, all of them should go back to where they came from. Because we, as African people, are coming home to work with African people on the continent, to prepare the continent to be a model for the world in terms of what we can do for humanity, for what we can do for human beings living in a society that is not predicated on materialism and greed and violence, but based on management, understanding what needs to happen and how it should happen, not for any individual, but for us collectively as a people. You all, we all know Africa could feed the world, let alone the continent. There should be no starvation. And if there's one area because of the encroachment of the desert or some kind of situation where there is serious drought, we mobilize and we help that area. If there's issues about construction and so forth, we mobilize and help those areas with roads and bridges. This is the vision for the future for African people. But if you believe that because they've taken down some statues, they've taken down some flags, some team names will now be changed, they've taken some products off the shelf and put another face on the product, if you think all this symbolism without substance it's going to be beneficial for us. Once again, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. It's just a pacifying, just to chill you out, like they've always done. That's why, to me, the most important thing for us is to prepare to get out. Get out. Yeah. First, I'm going to talk about the conference, the complementarity conference this Saturday. And all you need to do is to register is to go to PayPal. You go to PayPal to make the donation. You know, if you have an account at PayPal, cool. But she also uses Cash App. You can use that too. But what's important is that you put the information. It is for the Complementarity Conference. And your name and your email address so they can send you the link. So this Saturday from 4 to 8, you can hit that link and then you'll be part of the Complementarity Conference. I think the most people I've been on a Zoom conference or whatever has been 80 people. 80 people, yeah. So I'll repeat that. I'll repeat that again, of course, on Friday as well. But I want to give these ground rules and other things that Baba Baruti has sent out dealing with the Complementarity Conference. Brothers and sisters, I cannot stress enough that brothers need sisters and sisters need brothers. The reason why we don't have good community life and the fact that we devalue our lives so badly is because we don't have good family life. And that is so necessary for us as brothers and sisters. We need compliments. We need brothers and sisters to be who they are in respect of one another. Compliment ground rule should be righteously praise each other. Do your fair share of the work. When you come into the relationship, obviously, a lot of the African tradition, we're trying to reclaim and recapture and restore, because the European model is very hardcore patriarchal, male dominating, with specific things. You do this as the woman, I do this as the man, you know. But in an African society that flourished and grown, there was a complementarity. There was amicable. You know, they were together. Do your fair share of the work. Accept responsibilities for keeping peace in and maintaining the integrity of the complementary relationship and family. Do not use derogatory words against each other. Never speak at each other in hot anger. Defend each other. Africanize your home. That's why during this coronavirus situation, and you see noted people who are speaking from home, and I check out what their home environment looks like. I was kind of one of the ESPN writers who is a journalist out of L.A., you know. I was seeing his crib. He had African artwork and figurines and so forth. So right on, you know. Be kind and courteous to each other every time an opportunity avails itself. Be kind and courtesy to each other every time an opportunity avails itself. Develop personal and family mission statements. It's always good to write something down that affirms what you're going to do, because a lot of times you don't write it down, you forget it. But you write it down. This is what we're about. This is what we're going to do. And then you continue. Then you consistently and continuously check those things. Reintroduce them if need be. Never use physical violence against each other. Please. I know. The violence that we see in this country is just, especially amongst African people, because of the hatred that we have for ourselves, because of what we have been trained to believe and trained. Yeah. You know. There was one meme in there. They showed a cop beating on a brother. Then they showed some brother hitting a sister. I mean, just like she was a dude. Do not use drugs. Of course, drugs are so pervasive in the society. We shouldn't. And I know there are some disciplined individuals in our community, in our society of African people that have never used a drug at all. Of any kind. And of course, because drugs are promoted
I just seen a commercial about Big Pharma this morning and all the other pharmaceuticals. Everything in this society is promoted by drug and drug use. Pervasive. Never make unilateral decisions whose outcome affects both of you. That's why if you're going to make a purchase decision, a big purchase decision, that needs to be consulted. Some argue that if you're going to spend over $100, that needs to be discussed. And I can understand that. But we have to, I repeat, we have to consult with one another. Once you go into a relationship with somebody and it's meaningful and it's sincere and it's committed, the most important thing in that relationship is communications. Sincere communications. Sincerely apologize for wrongs committed, no matter how small or insignificant they may appear to you. You know, once again, I know there are some men and women who are in society, in the church, in our community, in African-centered community, who are good men and good women, and they have forged a family, and they have been respectful for one another. But I would say a lot of the relationships, let's keep it real, that have happened over the times here in this country have been men dominating a relationship and women acquiescing to it. Because that has been the history of Europeans. That has been the history from the very beginning of the Ice Age days when they were in those caves. See, in African society, where everything was plentiful, if the woman was being mistreated, she would say, hey, I ain't going to take this. I'm going to go down the road. There's a beautiful oasis down there with a lot of fruit and good people down there. I'm going to take this from you, bump you, take me and these two kids, and I'm gone. But in the early beginnings of Europeans, even to this day, it's like, no, I can't go out there by myself. It's dark out there. It's cold out there. There's animals out there. I'm going to just have to acquiesce and capitulate and take this abuse. And that's why in Western society, in Europe, and here in this country, homosexuality is pervasive, particularly amongst women. Because when you look at the Greeks, this enlightened society of the Greeks that the Europeans love, because that is their foundation. But it wasn't a foundation of family. It was not a foundation of family. Like Africans. It was a foundation of It was a foundation of homosexual hierarchy and pedophilia. In ancient Kemet, when you go there and you see the Medu Netcher, or what the Greeks called hieroglyphs, you see pictures, you see statues of men and women. There was no homosexuality. There was no homosexuality in Africa until Europeans brought it in Africa. Now, okay, if you want to say that is a behavior or that is something that happens and possibly happens genetically, I'm not going to debate that. I'm not going to argue that. But I believe in our ancestors and our scholars, and I believe them and our elders. There's a brother who moved here. He was living in Milwaukee, Baba Manny Hochi. He came here to Atlanta in his last few years, and he transitioned here. But he said, I have studied multiple African cultures, multiple African societies. I did not find in those societies where homosexuality was being promoted or being practiced. But in Europe, it's pervasive. In America, You got it.
Listen, listen, listen to each other. Respectfully.
Not, you know, one ear and out the other. Respectfully. Have conversation. Have some good quality time to discuss issues within the family or issues that you might be having with each other. Do that. Understand that there are real differences between the way men and women think. And do not take these differences personally. But learn to communicate and feel an understanding for her position and feel the understanding for his position and compromise if need be. It is not, I'm the man. It's my way or a highway for you.
Also in a society, you know, like here in Atlanta, you have more women than men. There are a plethora of women and a paucity of men. In that situation, women, of course, they're looking at, they are the most advanced degrees and degrees of our people. In fact, it has been argued or stated that American African women are the most educated group in this society. But the question a lot of sisters have asked, where are the men? Where are the men who can be a compliment? By that, they mean not just a person that, but also has a degree, also has ideas about what the future will be and preparing for it, also has, you know, his own. He's got a car, he's got a job, he's got a place. And she's got a car, she's got a job, she's got a place. And yet they come together to bring those resources together. But that's not happening. Those things, unfortunately, are rare for sisters. Where are the men? It's not that you don't see men. What you're talking about, where are the real men? Men who are self-defining, self-respecting. Men who know who they are culturally. I ain't saying he got to have locks, tattoos, or anything like that. But he is a man who knows who he is culturally. And he respects women. He loves children. He cares for elders. He honors and reveres ancestors. He is an African man. And she is an African woman. And they are willing to come together for family life and to move our people forward. Give each other ample personal space. Trust one another. Respect one another. Respect her space. And she respects yours. You might have a man cave. She might have a den where she does. That's her space. That's your space. But together, it's ours. It's not off limits. It's ours. We're together. This is mine. This is yours. No, we're together. Give the unexpected and the inexpensive. Give the unexpected and the inexpensive. Hug each other often and share work. By that, give the unexpected and the inexpensive. Something unexpected, a gift. Something unexpected, out to dinner. Something unexpected. It doesn't have to be expensive. But it's the thought that you are thoughtful, that you are considerate. That you are doing everything necessary and she is doing everything necessary to make the relationship grow and sustain itself and root itself. Understand that negative old habits are ingrained and can be very, very difficult to change, even when the understanding and will is there. Even when the understanding and the will is there, it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. It is a challenge to get rid of old habits and old ways of thinking, to come together as two people and to share that and be committed to sharing that and to make it happen. Do not dismiss or demean your compliments, fears, and insecurities. We all have them. Men, encourage your compliment. Sisters, encourage your compliment. Help each other understand what bothers you, what concerns you. Have good, serious discussion and find ways to remedy the situation. Expect your compliment to change as he or she, expect your compliment to change as she or he mentally, emotionally, and spiritually grows. You must grow. That's the thing about, understand, that's the thing about the relationship. It should not be stagnant. It should not be on the decline. It should always be on the incline. It should always be reaching. Help each other grow. Introduce new ideas that are conducive to African growth and development for us as a people, and to help fortify and strengthen the complement, the family. Do not apply a double standard to each other when it comes to personal appearance and duties. Always be egalitarian in your perception of each other. Always. Be the person, i.e., follow the role you claim. Be the person. If you say this is who you are, be that. Don't be a contradiction. Don't be a liar. Don't be false. Stand on it. Be who you are. Be the kind of man that you say you are. Be the woman that you say you are. Stand on it. Many times people say a number of things, but yet their actions prove something different. But when you say these things and your actions prove them, each other feels better about their relationships. Because why? He or she is not saying one thing and doing another. They're not hypocrites. They're not liars. And they truly have each other's interests at heart. Do not lie to each other. Do not cheat on each other. Be trustworthy. Do not accept what is not fair. Sometimes I know people acquiesce and they just, you know, oh, okay, I'll go along to get along. But always state your case and always keep the atmosphere right. And if it's not, find ways to correct it. Sit down with each other and correct it. Always be keeping your relationship on an uptick. Always on an incline instead of a decline. Regularly indulge in personal complementarity and family positive affirmations. Keep putting into your heart and into your mind how important it is that the both of you work together to raise family. Maybe you don't have kids, but maybe you have nieces and nephews, the children in our community. You must present yourself in all honesty, has the model. And if you do have children, you're raising these children, they ain't no little thugs. These are nice young men and young ladies. I've seen some beautiful children in the conscious community here in Atlanta and in Milwaukee. I know them. Now, my grandsons, they ain't
Afrocentric. They want to be athletes like a lot of other kids, but they're good young men. They don't hang around with, they hang around with cats much like themselves. He does okay in school. They both do. They're not really great. But the bottom line is, you want children that will not have you taking out a damn loan on your house because you got to get them out of jail. Or seeing them in prison for extended long periods of time. Regularly consult elder compliments. There are some good brothers and sisters in our community, some elders who have raised good families, who have done some positive things. And if you need help, consult them. Never forget to sincerely say thank you. Me day well. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, what's going to take place this Saturday is vitally important to the spiritual, mental, emotional, physical life of our community. It is something that is necessary. It gives us a vision for the future. And I take it seriously. We're going to talk after the break. Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon got fired from Viacom. BET. I know he has his programs on Viacom. And we're going to talk about that. I got a clip to play from my good brother, the Black Panther, Brother Ben Njai. He's talking about it, and he tries to explain the problem that the history and the region has with the words that we have heard spoken by a number of our people in power, you know, because, you know, when you talk about anti-Semitism, you know, there's a lot of people who have been charged with being, quote, anti-Semitic, which, of course, when you're talking about European Jews, as far as I'm concerned, is a misnomer. They're not Semitic. They're not Semitic people. But when you look at the false claims and false charges against anti-Semitism, you're looking at Booker T. Washington, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, President Nelson Mandela, Julian Bond, Andrew Young, Al Sharpton, Reverend Joseph Lowry, James Baldwin, Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jackson, Ice Cube, Muhammad Ali, W.E.B. Du Bois, Martin Luther King, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Bishop Desmond Tutu, Kwame Ture, Kwasi Mfumi, Jesse Jackson, Black Lives Matter, Barack Obama, Alice Walker, Spike Lee, and Arsenio Hall, and Public Enemy, and many, many more who have been charged with anti-Semitism. Yeah. We'll try to break all of that down and give you a good understanding of what all that is about. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll get into this discussion. You stay with us. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Brother, you will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The
revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
It's the messenger group X-Clan. Here's the nine. The movement Black Watch. And when we're not outraged about the oppression upon the black existence, we step to you in blackness. By the way,
exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sissy.
Let us the words, word to phrase, to paragraph. Heed math as Jay begins class. The science of past is now brought to the rhyme face. From the scroll, straight to the verse. God to God, from God to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to make the army scene? With the cause I never pause, there simply is the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in an instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 360 degrees. Comprehend, a man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time seem shorter. The ever-radiant awareness brought forth the one. Open eyes, strong shun. Practicing priests, standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to unleash. Words of God. Brought from the Genesis, will exist till Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. One must be aggression to learn a basic lesson. Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. I wear a crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell. Bringing hell to the sellouts. The ever tangled web we weave. Always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Descendants of kings and queens act like justice. Never potential, caught up in the measure. Jealousy of what are we becomes tendency for their thievery. Alright, cool. But no need to pull the tool, cause that's a fool. I get my words like that in my school to produce the words that they dream about. It's another way of taking out these sissies who may try to extinct my principality. But of course I'm not having madness. From beginning, I'm the end. Observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon for a few seconds, pull the reins and hear the words of the brother. Three, two, one. is a force I jerk. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, synchronize a clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of brother one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a bird stick, so you native swing a lick. Jam brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the folk of this one Van Glory is unearthly resistance, strong with persistence. Grand verbal allocations, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer. Vibe sharer, not the era. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor. And neither my demand makes stone seem sore. Corrupts all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it onk, it's a key. Black is a color while blackness, state of a mind state. But how many of you fake? Today, Brother J can find a better way, so be it. Plan it down and make it stay, I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I could never swear a place, so just hasten your step to the mic and stage area. As I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge and places an antenna. Americana man, Africana brother. Don't forget the land, cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of brother.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step off.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time For an Awakening Media every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. This program, African Perspectives, on Mondays, followed Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Conversation Reparations. And then on Tuesday, 8 p.m. until 10, Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank. On Thursdays, Black Reality Think Tank Millennial. And on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time For an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition, followed by Sankofa, the Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m., Time For an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 7 p.m. Every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. is the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time For an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. So, which has been the case of European Jews who have, particularly here in this country, anytime that you have said something about them would force you and make you apologize. Marlon Brando, Spike Lee, Michael Jackson. There's a long list of Arsenio Hall, long list of people, just because you even associated with people that they disagree with. And understand, Judaism is a religion. It is not a nationality or race of people. I don't even like race. But, you know, because see, there's no such thing as race. There is no such thing as race. There's only one race. There are cultures. The European Jewish culture has been very dominant as Judaism is concerned, because there's many other Jews. There's the Fausa Jews, the African Jews in Eastern Africa. There are the Sephardic Jews that came in the northern part of Africa into the western part of Europe. In fact, if you look at the history of 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, around that same time, the Europeans kicked the Moors out of Spain, and they kicked the Sephardic Jews out of Spain or Europe, you see. So it's, and so they dominate and they control Judaism. They dominate and control Judaism. And they utilize it as a way. And because it is associated with Christianity,
For those who are serious evangelicals and right-wing Christians, you must support the Jews. You must support Israel. There's no question about it. No matter what the hell they do, we don't care if they take land from Palestinians. We don't care if they kill Palestinians. We must support them. The United States support Israel more than any country, multiple times more than any country in the world. And yet, Israel does what it does. Zionism does what it does to the detriment of human beings. So when Nick Cannon said what he said, and then, of course, the Jews got on him, and then Viacom, which also owns BET and a few others, CBS, Viacom, and his show, Wildin' Out, and his other show, Conversations with Nick Cannon. I can't remember what it is. I remember my good brother being on there. Greg Kamathi Carr was a good program. So on the internet, on Facebook, was my good friend who's been on the program, will continue to be on the program, and that is Brother Ben Njai, the Black Panther, who does research. And that's why he said we must get the right information. We must get, before we speak, we must have the right information. Now, I understand. I'm guilty, too, because I look at some information and I say to myself, is that logical? Is that something that, you know, can be verified and substantiated? And then sometimes you just fly off the cuff, like some people do. But when you make serious accusations, or when you quote from history, see, that's the thing about history. What did Napoleon say? History's lies agreed upon. What did that fat ass Winston Churchill say? History is going to be kind to Britain because I'm going to write it. And look at that's a deep statement, because look at Britain, of all the stuff that they have done. And ain't paid nobody back. Ain't apologized to no damn body. Don't get me started. Let me finish this up, because I'll get started because I can't stand the ass along with the French. So I'm going to play a piece from Brother Ben Njai, and he'll give some information, historical information, some things that maybe that have been stated wrongly by a lot of our people. But there's one thing I believe that is ultimately true for us, is that we must know who we are and check those who are outside of us. So this is Brother Ben Njai. He put this out. He put this out on the internet, on Facebook today. You know, he's still in Iraq, I think he is. Iraq or Afghanistan.
Hope everybody's doing well on this Wednesday morning, quarantine edition. Sit your ass down Wednesdays. But, yep, well, let's get into it. Brother Nick Cannon. If you haven't heard, Brother Nick Cannon was fired from Viacom for his comments with an interview. Well, it was a couple of interviews, one with Professor Griff and then one with Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I wanted to take this opportunity to critique some of the things that the brother said, because some of it was incorrect and some of it he could have did a better job of explaining. And we have to understand, when battling our enemies, people that have enslaved us, marginalized us, and other things throughout, you know, the historical record, We have to come with it, black folks. We have to have all our ducks in a row. Everything must be polished. Everything must be checked. The source has got to be vetted. Everything. We can't just repeat things that we've heard. We've seen that twice this week. Once with DeSean Jackson and now with Nick Cannon. And now they both get being caught with their pants down and potentially losing money for not having scholastic proof of things that they're saying. So let's talk about the term Semitic. Semitic is relating or denoting to a family of languages that includes Hebrew, Arabic, Aramaic, Phoenician, Akkadian, and other subgroups of the Afro-Asiatic family. So this is a broad range of people, even though when you hear the term anti-Semitic, you only hear it from a Jewish perspective. But, other people can claim anti-Semitic as well. So just wanted to get that out there. So let's get into, well, first, before I say that, I want to say that the anti-Semitic sentiment only comes from one type of Jewish community. You don't hear it from the other type of Jewish communities. And we're going to get into that today. So let's get into Mr. Cannon's claims. Before I start, I want to say, I enjoy Wildin' Out. It's one of my favorite shows. I know what Mr. Cannon does for the community. Ain't got no problem with Mr. Cannon, which he leading white women alone, but that's another subject. Mr. Cannon says our melanin is so powerful and it connects us in a way that the reason why white people fear us is because the lack that they have of it. This isn't correct. Contrary to popular belief, white people have melanin. I'm sorry if you were taught a different way. White people have melanin. They just have a different type than people that are black and brown. So our skin tone, black and brown, it's Yule melanin. It's great at, blocking us from UVA rays. White people have pheomelanin. It's great on blocking for UVB rays. It's the only difference. Of course, the phenotype, they're more pinkish people and we're more black and brown people, but they do have melanin, and they even have low amounts of Yule melanin, just like we have low amounts of pheomelanin. So number one, white people have melanin. So like I said, when you come to white folks, you got to have your shit tight. So he made an error right off the bat. Then, he says that's the reason that they fear us. But melanin was discovered in the 1840s. As a brother is a Swedish doctor named Berzelius or something like that in the 1840s. And they discovered it in our eyes first before they even knew it was in our skin. So if melanin was discovered in the 1840s, white people feared us long before that. So it's not the melanin that makes white people fear black people. That's not it at all. It's this narrative that they've constructed because they're in power. And Amos Wilson talks about this. Amos Wilson talks about the fact that when you're in power, you must construct a narrative to flip things around, or the people that you impoverish, the people that you marginalize will rise up. So everything has to be switched around, because he talks about how, our founding fathers and everything have a criminal history, but they will make you think that you have the criminal history. So this is why, we're profiled and stop and frisk and all this other stuff. It always has to be turned upside down, or you cannot impoverish and marginalize the lower class, so to speak, and keep the ruling class strong if you do not spin everything around. So that's the reason they fear us, not our color. He also said, he made several comments about the true Hebrews, and those that are not black are a little less. So you're a little less Hebrew if you're not black, according to him. Let me go briefly over the Hebrew language. We got Semitic, we got Afro-Asiatic, we got Canaanite, we got Northern Semitic, Central Semitic. These are a mixed bag of people. There is no true Hebrew. There's no true Jew. You got Jews all over the world. If we're talking about, Beta Israel, or what they call Ethiopian Jews, that's a Jewish community. We're talking about Axiom, Tigray, Ethiopia, late 20th century, you know. They start to pick up that Judaism. Then we're talking about the Sephardic Jews, Iberian Peninsula. We're talking about this, Spain, Portugal Jews, you know. And then we have what Mr. Cannon is getting the heat from, Ashkenazi Jews. And let me read to you where these people come from. Jewish settlers who established communities along the Rhine River in western Germany and in northern France dating to the Middle Ages. So we're talking about Europeans, specifically mostly Germans. So once there, they adopted traditions they carried from Babylon. But Babylon's in Iraq. So already we got different types of people. So, you know, there's no true Hebrew. And the Western Mediterranean, and they established this with their new environment. So I just named for you Ashkenazi, Beta Israel, Sephardic, and there's even more types of Jews. And even within these groups, there are different types of people. So who's the true Jew? It's a faith, first of all. Judaism is a faith. It's a religion. Anybody can be that once you convert. Stop treating it like a race. It's not like you can say, no one says the true black people, because that's a race. It's easy. Judaism is something someone converts to, something someone adopts, something someone makes the religion of their life, of their household, of their family. It's not a race of people. We need to stop treating it like that. Mr. Cannon also goes on and says, so therefore, however they got power, they lack compassion. Melanin comes with compassion. Melanin comes with a soul. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing the science versus the theological argument. We're not doing that, Nick. We ain't. You know why we're not doing that? Because they're going to bring up people of our color that have displayed that, you know, they don't have what they call a soul or compassion. And then your argument is going to be null and void. This is what I mean. When you go against white supremacy, you got to have everything tight. So now you're mixing a theological argument versus a science argument. Now they're going to ask you to prove to us that a soul exists. You can't do that, can you? But we can prove melanin exists. But souls? That's something that comes from a faith. And you can't mix the two, because you're already going down the wrong road. Because now you're trying to say that all black people are inherently good and all white people are inherently bad. And they're not going to go for that. Because you got black serial killers, you got white serial killers, you got black rapists, you got white rapists. You see what I'm going here? You can't prove stuff like that. These are the mistakes we make when going against white supremacy. He also mentioned that, you know, I mentioned earlier people that have melanin are a little less. But he says they may not have compassion when they were sent to the mountains of the Caucasus, when they did not have the power of the sun. First of all, the sun shines on Earth. Stop saying that. Sun is everywhere. Then the sun started to deteriorate them. So then they were acting out of fear. They're acting out of low self-esteem. They're acting out of deficiency. What are they deficient in? If you're making the argument that the sun was cooking them, yeah, they get sunburned. But that's not something that creates an erratic fear. You just learn to hide in caves, just like South Africans used to hide in caves. But people aren't ready for that argument because they call them cave dwellers when, you know, Africans were the first cave dwellers. But, okay, we have to talk about this. What is a Caucasian? And are the Caucasians the same people that you're talking about in America today? No, they're not. We talk about Caucasians as a term, an all-encompassing term for white people. That's an American invention. It's an American invention due to a case from the Supreme Court in which there was a which he petitioned to become a United States citizen. He said because anthropologists categorized him as a Caucasian. And Caucasians live in America. So why can't I be an American citizen? The U.S. Supreme Court came back and said, no, that's really only, you know, European Americans that we're talking about here in this country. So he was denied citizenship. But originally, Caucasians, we're talking about Russia, Georgia, Turkey. That's where the Caucasus Mountains area is. Those are not the people that succeeded from United Kingdom and came to America and manifest destiny and all that. That's not the same people. They don't even know those people. Look up Christopher Miners. He went to the Caucasus area and said that the people there were the most beautiful people he ever met. They were just gorgeous. And then he, you know, everyone else was dumb, evil, ugly. Throughout the world, that was his, you know, thing, you know, and then what's the dude's name? Johann Blumenbach added to that theory and said that everybody must have came from the Caucasus because they were so beautiful. And specifically, he was talking about the men. Yeah, we'll cover that another day. But Blumenbach creates sort of an out of Georgia theory. For the entire world, like out of Africa theory, it's out of Georgia theory. Everybody must be from Georgia because they are so beautiful. This is how, you know, we start getting everybody of a certain skin tone is a Caucasian. Now, some people call this scientific racism. But what's scientific about it? What method did he use to come up with all that? I tell you what he did do. Part of his thing was the people of Georgia had the most beautiful cranium structures, the most beautiful skulls. But you probably like, Panther, how did he just look at people's heads all day? Well, kind of. He had a collection of 264 skulls and said that the Georgians were the most beautiful skulls that he had. Sick, right? But that's the origin of how all white people are called Caucasians. So now that we know not all white people are called Caucasians, Mr. Cannon is in error again because he's referring to all people coming from the Caucasus Mountains, which they do not. So, you know, these are some things you got to have tight when you're going up against white supremacy. If you don't have it tight, they will come after you and they will win. Because you don't have everything together. Now, I'm not saying if he would have had the scholastic facts that he wouldn't have been fired, but he would have been able to mount a better defense is what I'm saying. You know, first of all, when you have people like Professor Griff and Minister Farrakhan on your show, you should already be prepared if you work for someone else to be fired. We know because Professor Griff has been called an anti-Semist since 1989. And I don't know when they start calling Farrakhan that, but it's probably before that. He's been on Earth a long time. His doctrine has not changed. You should be prepared. And I'm sure Nick Cannon is. I mean, he got buku money. So I'm sure he saw this coming, you know? But I just hate to see the brother go out on a, you know, less than accurate non-scholastic tip. I ain't got no problem with you going out on your sword, Brother Cannon, but go out with the good information to empower the people, you know? And lastly, I want to say, anti-Semitic is not racism. It's discriminatory, but it's not racism. Why? Say it with me. Because Semitic people, Hebrews, Judaism, are not races of people. We proved that earlier. There are many different types of people. You can't exclusively call them one thing or the other. Did they have black people in these areas? Yes, they did. Did they have white people in these areas? Yes, they did. Did they have Arabs in these areas? Yes, they did. They're not exclusively one thing or the other. So it's not racism. It is discriminatory. But this is the thing. Beta Israel Jews get racism and anti-Semitic things thrown at them. Ashkenazi Jews only get one. So, you know, keep that in your toolbox because they like to play this game of who has it worse. You know, and they always reference the Holocaust, which is something that happened so long ago, and we're talking about things that happened currently, like last week. And while I'm speaking on the Holocaust, those were really Germans fighting other Germans. These particular Germans didn't like these Germans. They converted to the Judaism faith, if you didn't know that. So, short little video. That's all I wanted to go over. Peace to Brother Cannon. I'm sure he'll be fine. I hope Wildin' Out don't get canceled, but probably will. It is what it is, man. Black African power. Alafia Mandela. Abibi Fuhudie. Health, power, African liberation. And last thing I'm going to say is 100 years of the RBG flag, 100 years of Catch Me in the Whirlwind. You know, United Front's putting that on next month, August 13th, I believe. I will be one of the speakers in that. So catch me on that as I go over Iwa Ray Ray, how we can't build a nation without it. Peace.
That's my good brother. Brother Ben Njai, the Black Panther. And he laid it out there saying that when you step, you must step with information that is correct. You need the right information. And there's various sources that can provide the right information. There's some Caucasian sources that you can rely on. There's some African sources that you can rely on. One thing that is, excuse me, I'm sorry. One thing that is clear to me, the late converts to Judaism, the Ashkenazis, dominate and control Judaism. They make it appear and seem that they are a different species, that they are totally different from other people. They are the ones that act like it, that they are a, quote, race of people and not just a religion or a train of thought. The Ashkenazis are in such a great position because they have the strength of the Western world behind them because of the connection to Christianity. Because of Abraham. Abraham is the father of those three religions of Christianity. Well, of Judaism, Christianity, and then Islam. But it is a religion. It is not. And I don't like to use the word race. But for this conversation, we'll have to. You know. Because it is the Ashkenazi Jews who dominate and control Judaism globally act in that fashion. They're the ones that check you. And what's interesting, there have been some other Caucasians, Europeans, who stated that, you know, no, these are not the real Hebrews. You know, no, these are not, and this is what they, you know, these kinds of things. So they within that group have seeked out the information, the historical factual information, and presented it. You know, there's a movie, and I hope you get a chance to check it out. I don't know if you can check it out on YouTube. I know you can go to the library. The movie is Ragtime with Howard Rollins, and it came out back in the 80s. Ragtime. It is a most profound movie. Ragtime, Howard Rollins' character is a musician, and Debbie Allen's character was his girlfriend who was pregnant and was having a baby. The setting is New York during the time of Ragtime. The music and so forth, Jelly Roll Morton and everything like that. And to make this short, there was also some European Jews who were moving from Europe into New York. And the one person that they talk about is a Caucasian who was very artistic, who had his daughter on a leash, I guess, because he had to maintain. In fact, he caught his wife having relationships with another man and threw all her stuff out, and he and his daughter, and they went to California.
because they were going to start the motion picture industry. And there are some movies I know that you may watch and you will say, you know, there's a line in that movie that sticks with you. The line in this particular movie is what the, you know, he was writing, remember, well, I might be the oldest one on this call, but remember when you were children, you used to go and buy these things for a penny, paper, and they were moving papers, because what they would do is draw something, and each page they would draw a fraction of an inch in movement. So when you flip it, you could see it moving. You could see it walking or moving. And so he was doing those back in New York just for children and so forth. But when he's in California and he meets up with the people that who are watching Debbie Allen's baby, because she got killed because Howard Rollins, you know, she was trying to seek justice for Howard Rollins and she got killed. And so they had his baby with them. And so they're with the baby and on the beach in California. And he shows them the little photo things. But there was a line in there that says, there is no end to what you can do with the photoplay. Reminded me of an episode of Nightline about maybe 10, 15 years ago, when they were talking about green screen technology. And the Caucasian said, we can rewrite history. Just like when you watch the movie Forrest Gump, the technology and how you can splice and dice and put this there and that there, did it not look like that he was talking with JFK? Did it not look like, see what I'm saying? There's no end to what, so you can rewrite history. And that's, what, of course, what Caucasians constantly have been doing. Because there is no end to what you can do with the photoplay. And who has been in the forefront in the movie industry? Really? European Jews? And see, that's the thing that bothers me about that. Because if you say something like that, or you say that the biggest the biggest import in Israel is diamonds, the biggest export in Israel is diamonds, but there are no diamond mines in Tel Aviv. There are no diamond mines in Europe. Excuse me, in Israel. But because you say that, then, oh, you're being anti-Semitic. You better apologize. Just like when Spike Lee in the movie Mo Better Blues, the two characters, because they control the record industry. Not they control it totally, but as it relates to their numbers, they are in control. It's just like the financial institutions, when he talked about the Oppenheimers and the Rothschilds, these are European Jews who have tremendous influence economically. We have a caller, 646-646. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it really makes no sense whatsoever to constantly have to deal with this whole issue with comments made in regards to Jews, when basically your comments have too many open-end questions to them. I mean, why do you place yourself in a situation to defend things that, unfortunately, you're not really able to defend?
That's a good
nor
point.
Do you have the equal structure in place to defend it. So where it is now, you leave yourself open to be boy, as I call it. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Well, especially,
I mean, it's
with
one
Jay.
Thing if you have, can I finish the point?
Okay.
It's one thing if you have a scholar, someone who has the historical information there to back you up and come to your rescue. It's another thing if you don't have that. If you have that, didn't you have a right to then make it to where you can refute what's being said and place it in a situation to now your oppressor has to defend his actions? Until you at that point, you're just destroying what little career you have. And you're losing things that you don't need to lose because you just opening up, running your mouth about stuff you don't know a damn thing about, and you're not clear on. It's foolishness, and I don't know why they do it. I mean, Professor Griff, he's not a Jewish scholar. I mean, you got other people out there who know this history of the Jew, who will defend it to the bitter end that white folks don't want to get in a pissing contest with. But a Professor Griff, a Nick Cannon, and these other so-called YouTube fools, they just open themselves up to get bored. And they deserve it. They deserve to be bored.
Well, let me just say this, Jay. I appreciate your comment. And that's why I played Brother Ben Njai, because what he has done consistently is try to research as factual as possible what the real deal is. He hates the fact that, you know, that Nick Cannon, he likes Nick Cannon's program on Viacom, on BT, whatever, I don't know. But what he's saying is that when you make assertions, when you make comments and so forth, back it up by the knowledge, back it up by the history, back it up by the facts. Get the right information before you make these points. Because once you've made them, and believe me, that's why to me, to say something is anti-Semitic is bull. Especially as it relates to European Jews. Because they're not Semitic people. Hold on, Jay. Because they're not Semitic people, but they dominate and control it. And so, therefore, to them and to the world, they are. But they're not historically. They're not. In fact, there is no genealogical connection to them in Israel. They're not. They're late converts to Judaism. But they dominate it and control it. And, of course, if you say something automatically and immediately, you are anti-Semitic because you challenge what I'm saying. You challenge
but
what I have done.
If you can't articulate it, that's what happens. If you can't make forward that fact that this is why I am the original Semitic people and that the Jew is not, and go into historical analysis about it, then you go get bored. And I ain't going to be mad at them, because I want somebody to come out and defend them that has the scholarship, the information, and the knowledge to defend them. But you want to know something? Those that have those understanding will not do it. I'll give you a perfect example. Perfect example, Greg Carr. I got to run. Talk to you soon. Hotel.
Okay, hotel, brother. 602. Good afternoon. 602.
Hey, brother. Good afternoon.
Hey, my brother.
You know, these Jewish people, you know, they never say nothing about that statement that Benjamin Franklin said war. They never address that. That's what they need to address. Address what the founding, one of the founding fathers of America said about them damn Jews. See, them people are parasites, as Farrakhan said. They are parasites. They have been sucking the blood of black people, as you said, Oppenheimer, De Beers, where their minds are. Namibia, South Africa, sucking the blood of black people in New York, where they call it New York, sucking the blood of black people. They are vampires. And when you say anything to them, the first thing they point is, oh, you're being anti-Semitic.
That's right.
I raise that statement that Benjamin Franklin said about them. They run like roaches. Anyway, brother,
thank you, my brother. Peace to you. Appreciate it. Yeah, Brother Marcus. But there's other Europeans that have talked about European Jews and exposed them, the Ashkenazi, for who and what they are. You know, but the fact that they dominate and control Judaism, so it makes it seem like when you say something that is anti-Ashkenazi Jew, then of course they will come with the full weight. And there's a lot of Christians behind them. They'll come with the full weight and either isolate you, ostracize you, silence you,
or make you apologize. You know, they have a lot of influence, a lot of power globally. You know, and so to me, it never was a thing about just like Brother Black Panther said too about Germany. Those were German people, they were Austrian people, but they just had a different belief, a different faith. They're the same people, you know? And, but by that act, gained them so much favor in the world of their persecution and their, in fact, it's a damn shame because of how language is and that how you can co-opt words and those words will be associated or synonymous with you. And so when you say Holocaust, you automatically put the face of European Jews on it. A Holocaust is an act of so morally demonstrative. It's not just against the people themselves, but against all humanity. The Jewish word in Yiddish is Shoah. But it was not a Holocaust, or it was not genocide in the real sense, because they were not totally eliminated. The people on what is now called Tasmania, that was a genocide. Another genocide was created, was conducted by the Spanish against the island of what they called Hispaniola, which is now the Dominican Republic and Haiti. The original inhabitants of the island are all gone. That was genocide. You could make the argument, and of course, you know, the European Jews, that's what they've made, that the act against them, the very act against them, whether 6 million people, 1 million people, hell, 2 million people, or one person died because of what happened, that's bad. That's terrible. But what they have done is they utilize that to gain worldwide sympathy and able to go in and to do what they have done. They control diamonds. But if you say that, oh, you're anti-Semitic and so forth. But they do. They can go online. Once again, go to YouTube. Put in diamonds. Who controls them? De Beers. So the influence that they have and what they were able to do, because they are tied to a people, the Europeans, the Caucasians, of a religion, Christianity, that helps facilitate all the things that they can do. They know they got a big weapon. It's almost like I look at it like this, brothers and sisters. Jews are pimps, and America is his hoe. Christianity, Jews are pimps. Christianity is their hoe. I know that's crash. But when you look at it, when you analyze it, when you study it, and how they maneuver and how they do this, that's a conclusion that you could come to. You could probably come up with another analogy. But what's more direct, huh? A pimp in a hoe. But that's what it is. That's what it is. And billions of dollars. And taking of land, killing people, removing people. Now, the humanitarian effort of airlifting Fausa Jews, that Brother Ben Engi mentioned, or the Ethiopian or Eastern Europeans, and that line goes all the way down into Southern Africa when they traced it genetically.
You can't do that with the European Jews. There is no, there is none, zero connection between those people who chose that religion and Israel of present day, or Palestine of present day. There is none. And just like Nasser, who was president of Egypt, said, I ain't got no respect for him. They left out of here African or black, and they came back white. And they're a huge influence. An influence beyond measure of what they are doing and what they can do. Beyond measure. So, man. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Give us a call. Let me know what you feel. I feel bad for Nick Cannon, but hey, just like Brother Injai said, when you put stuff out there, you might have to suffer the consequences of what's happening, what you've done. And so you got to all the time. I ain't saying you got to be scared, but you must know what you're saying. You got to get the right information so you can articulate. And I know what I say may not be right either, but I don't give a damn. I ain't scared. Number one, you can't do nothing to me. You know, and I'm a program on time for an awakening, you know. And so if Elliot wants to take me off, Elliot can do that, you know. If I go to Blog Talk, and because I'm saying this, that, and the other, and of course Blog Talk is theirs too. Theirs meaning, I mean, it's not ours. Tune In is not ours. What is ours is Black Talk Radio Network and Time for an Awakening. And if I say something for whatever reason, whatever it is, that I should be eliminated, that is up to Elliot. Not even Scotty. That's up to Elliot. Because I'm a program on his station that he gets from Scotty Reed, Black Talk Radio Network. But I would hope that we would have the courage on a medium such as ours to give out information. I'm not trying to throw out just off-the-cuff information. I'm trying to, I mean, in fact, if you come, just like that's why I played Brother Injai, because he has done some research. He has come with, and in fact, would have been cool if Nick Cannon had done some research. If DeSean Jackson would have done some research. And so this is interesting. So now they're saying, well, I'll take you to Israel so you can go visit the museum and you'll get a better perspective. Let me just say this. They can't tell me sugar, honey, iced tea. Okay? The European Jews can't tell me sugar, honey, iced tea. Because I love what Malcolm said. And some say it was Elijah Muhammad. But whoever said it, I love it. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. And looking at the history and looking what these people who have converted to Judaism, who are not Hebrews, who have converted to Judaism, what they have done. And particularly what they have done to African people. When I say that the European, when I gave you that information about ragtime, look at the movie industry. Look at the movie industry as it developed. Look at the imagery of African people. Look how they depicted us. Yes, I know there were some European Jews who assisted us in the civil rights struggle, who financed us, who like today, George Soros, European Jew, finances a tremendous beneficiary to the Black Lives Matter movement. There are other European Jews who have wealth and have done some things. I'm not debating that. But what I am talking about is the imagery, the iconography
of what the European Jews have done to the image of African people with intent, the caricatures or caricatures, even to this day. Brothers and sisters, we have no friends. We have no friends. The most important thing that we must do is close ranks. Pull our resources and do for ourselves. And I mean close ranks globally. I ain't talking about just here in Atlanta, here in Georgia, here in the United States. I'm talking about globally, the Caribbean, Central and South America, North America, wherever Africans are, close ranks. You want to stay in America, you stay. Wherever you are, you stay. But understand, the most important thing that we can do, just like the European Jews, because when they came out of that situation, the first thing they say, we want to establish a homeland for ourselves. Ibn Saud of Saudi Arabia told Truman, he said, well, give them Germany, you know, because that's who they is. Make that their damn homeland. But he told Ibn Saud, he said, I don't have a Arab constituency in America, but I have a hell of a Jewish one. And so the Ashkenazi, the Zionists, from all that time at the turn of the century, all of it led up to taking the land of Palestine and turning it into Israel. Even though genetically they have no claim to it, but theologically they believe that they do. Because the Ashkenazi Jews who dominate and control Judaism, this is what they believe. I'm going to be real. If you have a belief, but your belief system, because your belief system can do detrimental or permanent harm to other people, I question your belief system. But of course, when you read the Bible, what it always says, you know, God said, go in there and kill everybody, kill every man, woman, and child, kill the livestock, kill everything. Damn, God. Well, that's their God. Oh, my brothers and sisters, time is up once again. And, you know, these are tough. These are very tough subjects. All of it. Because all of it is about raising the level of understanding and consciousness of African people so they can love themselves and love each other. So we can turn from all of this wickedness. And we can turn from a society that's been detrimental to us, both mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. To go back home to do for ourselves. That must be the ultimate. That must be the end game for African people. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants and think they can't do without, and they shown in hell damn it don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Brother Akil Parker will be my guest this Friday. We'll have some interesting conversation, no doubt. We'll talk about some sisters again. I've been talking about sisters a lot, and that's good. That's good. So check us out this Friday. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Friday. Peace.